First Kings 17. First Kings 17.
We're going to probably boogie through this, but here we go. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years. But according to my word, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your spirit that is with us this morning. We ask, Lord, that you give us all ears to hear your word and let it motivate us to do what you would have us to do in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have you ever been in a situation where everything was good and then it kind of went bad a little bit? I was like, you just preface. You know, there's times in our lives where, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, praise the Lord, thank you. It's almost like a roller coaster. And you're like, you just get into this valley and you're like, what happened? I mean, I was right up. Have you? So I think we've all been in that spot and we've all kind of been in those places and we kind of all wonder, why, Lord? I thought I was all right. I was doing pretty good. I was, you know, where I needed to be. And then all of a sudden, so here's Elijah. This is one of those guys, Elijah the prophet. I mean, you know what he's capable of. He ends up going and battling Ahab's prophets and stuff like that. God puts the they get the bullock. I mean, so he does great things. He ends up not dying. I mean, God takes him up in a whirlwind. I mean, he ends up in Revelation. I mean, so this guy is like, he's pretty high up there on the prophet list or whatever. So you can see, so this is actually the first time he gets on the scene and he delivers his first sermon. And now his first sermon is right there. And I think it's one or two because God said, tell Ahab, what does it say? It says, before whom I stand, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's it. That was his first sermon ever. And then God says, you need to go hide. So he's on the mountaintop. And then he's like, but God, why do you want me to hide? I mean, I'm ready to do your work. You know, he's like, you're not ready to go to Mount Carmel yet. You know, I mean, this is God's mind. You're not quite ready. I need to set you aside, get you into a little tribulation maybe a little hard times, and then we'll set you up in Mount Carmel, and then you'll kind of get your Superman outfit on or whatever. So, I mean, so here's the situation. So if you look at chapter 16, go back to chapter 16 near the end, this is who he's dealing with. 16. Yeah, 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, the reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Okay, so Ahab is like the seventh in line of kings in Israel. So it starts out with Jeroboam, I think I have it in here. Yeah, because Rehoboam is brother. So you got, you know, Israel wanted kings. So they got Saul, David, Solomon, and then all of a sudden Solomon's kids. So Jeroboam, he's the king of Israel. Rehoboam, he's the king of Judah. So it's split right there. So Jeroboam, he did evil in the sight. And for the rest of Scripture, you'll see this king. went in the way of Jeroboam. This king went in the way of Jeroboam. This king went in the way of Jeroboam, which means they were evil. They did bad things. They didn't do things God wanted. Now you get to Ahab, seventh in line, and it says, and he was, let's see, evil in the sight of God, and it came to pass as it had been 30, yeah. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So he was the worser of the kings. I mean, he was like, so 31, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, see, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went on and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which had been built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel. Okay, so now you got Ahab. He's a bad mamma jamma. So, I mean, so then you go, okay, all right. Elijah's going and preaching to him. But then what happens? Ahab marries who? Jezebel. And she was the worst of sisters. I mean, she was even worse than him. Because she came from a spot, and so she ends up, okay, well, I'm worshiping Baal. I'm worshiping Baal too. Let's put Baal right into the house of God. Ooh-wee. So you can see where all this is coming from. So then you see how it goes. So I got Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Jezebel, brought her Baal worship. God doesn't really worry about all the evil that's happening. But what did he do? God turned to a preacher to turn to Ahab and said, hey, I'm going to tell you, buddy, this is what's going to happen. No more rain for 3 years. So then what happens is Ahab goes. He goes and hides him by the brook Cherith. He sets him up on this nice little brook. Okay, well, there's a drought. So whatever water is left in that brook, it's not a lake or anything like that. So you imagine water's pretty precious at this time. So then he goes, okay, well, I'm going to set you up. The first Uber Eats happens. God sends ravens to feed him. Now, so he's over there by the brook. I'm going to feed you. The raven shows up morning and night feeding him. It's like, look at this. This bird's bringing me food. Now think of this, guys. This is what happens. I might be jumping the gun, but it says, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is. Here he steps on the scene. His first time in Scripture, God says to get to step, and I don't know, I always put that. He's going to call down fire from heaven. He goes up in a whirlwind. Him and Enoch never saw death, but in chapter 17, he tells him to go hide. What do you do when God puts you in hiding? What do you do after you've gotten that high from God and then all of a sudden you're in the valley? What do you do with that? So first of all, God wants to teach you something. He gave him meat from the devourer. He gave him, the raven is known for a flesh-eating bird. So if by chance Elijah died, that bird would eat him, right? So here God has this bird go get meat, which normally the bird would eat, no questions asked, and brings him. So here God shows this picture of sometimes, you know, after you've gone through a high and down in the valley, you have these thoughts of like, who are my enemies, or what things are going to hurt me, or how are things going to work? Lord, this is going to kill me. How do I go through these situations? How do I deal with something like his brother being shot? How do I deal with that? But what God is showing you is that regardless of what happens in that situation, I'm going to be able to feed you. And sometimes it's that low point, or that's that tribulation that ends up feeding you spiritually, because you have nowhere else to go but to him. And so what happens is you're seeing there like, oh, what's going to kill you actually makes you stronger in Christ. You're like, because I don't know. I know. We like to do it ourselves. We like to put everything on ourselves. We get upset when we can't handle it. And God puts us at a point where we're like, oh, God, I got nowhere else to go. And so you end up leaning on him. And so not only does he put you in a spot, here he is at the brook Cherith. He's got no food, no water, blah, 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 but he's fed through the Lord. So see that? I mean, you see where it's going. So verse 6, let's see what it says in 17, verse 6. It says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I mean, praise the Lord. So then I have here, see. So Noah, when he first sent out a bird, he sent out a dove, right? But then on the second time, he sent out a raven. Because ravens don't mind living in rough situations. This is why God is hiding you. Is there a tough situation going on in your life? Isn't it amazing how you can be going through things that could destroy you, and yet those things will end up distributing things to you? If you're going through a trial right now, you're thinking, this thing's going to kill me. This thing's going to kill me. This thing's going to kill me. How am I supposed to get through this? This thing that you thought was going to kill you is going to be the very thing that feeds you. The doctors say cancer is going to kill you, but there are people who will tell you they got more from God going through cancer than they ever did. Can't say this one. You've lost loved ones, and how can you go on? It hurts too much. God will feed you in that loss, sometimes more than he ever has, to prove he will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be doing my sister's memorial this weekend, so it's a little tender with me right now. All right. But we all say, I don't want to hide. I don't want to be out. I want to be out where everything's fine. I don't want to be in this situation of toughness, of roughness. So on the second part of this, it says, meat from the devourer. He also puts you in a situation where he wants to give meals from the down and outer. What happened was Elijah was at the brook, and then all of a sudden he sends him 60 miles north to this place called Zarephath. And Zarephath happens to be Jezebel's hometown. Okay, so Ahab's basically after Elijah preaching him that sermon. What do you mean 3 years? Ahab's like, get that guy. So God puts him at the brook. And then he goes 60 miles north to Zarephath, which is Jezebel's hometown, which Jezebel's the one chasing him, wants to kill him. I ain't going there, God. Why would you send me there? Would be our thought. And then he meets this widow woman. Okay, everybody knows when the breadwinner dies, for the most part, widows aren't known for their wealth, right? So in this situation, he goes, I'm going to send you here to Zarephath. I'm going to have this widow woman, and she's going to feed you. And so he meets this woman, and then all of a sudden, she's gathering up sticks, it says in the passage. And he's like, I need you to give me water. Well, water was a precious commodity at this time because there's a drought. I need you to give me some water, and then I need you to make me a cake. Brother, what? Who are you? You know, where are you coming from? She's like, sir, I'm getting these sticks to build me a fire, to make a cake for me and my son, and then we're gonna die, because that's it. That's all we have. We have nothing else. So you can see God working in both of their face, kind of testing them both. Are you gonna go to Zarephath, Jezebel's hometown, and do what I say? Are you gonna serve this man? And I don't know if she knew he was a man of God. Are you going to take the chance to feed him one of your cakes, your last cake, and see? So this all happens, but what God, you know, sometimes we get, I don't know if we get prideful, we get in our ways and whatever, and sometimes we look at people in a lower, we don't look at them the way we should, because there's a lot of times where we might go through situations or be in these situations where somebody who doesn't have as much as we do ends up giving more to us than we would give to them, you know? And so it's there. God is showing us through this situation that sometimes what you think you're going to get help from isn't what God's way of doing things. You could get things from people that you don't expect to. I used to work at an RV place in detail and stuff like that. There are a bunch of Mexicans and stuff. and they weren't living high on the hog and stuff, but they would always invite me over and they'd have this big old party. I'm just like, wow, it just really opened my eyes because of the love they have for people around them and the friendliness and stuff like that. I mean, if you go to any poor country, if you're a missionary, they're gonna invite you in and feed you any and everything they have, because for some reason, and yet we're like, I should be giving you stuff, and yet you're giving me stuff. So God's showing us that through all this, that don't always expect to receive things from people that we think are of higher estate. You can also receive things from people of lower estate. And that's a way of God saying, I have ways of doing things that aren't your ways. I have ways of accomplishing what I need to accomplish way beyond what you think. So be careful. God will start sending you messages on where to go, and our response is, I ain't doing that. I'm not taking that job. I'm not going to write that tithe check. I'm not going to ask them for help. They need it more than I do. Sometimes God hides you to get rid of your pride. It was better when I knew where my money came from. It was better when I knew my job was intact. It was better when I knew my friends had my back. It was better when things were going well. You don't know what's better. You are not God. A widow was going to feed you. Widows, okay, we got that. So what's funny about this is that the widow, you think about the widow with two mites, the widow with a pot of oil getting ready to lose her two sons. Now, if you remember that passage where Elisha went to him, and this is a good little passage because Elijah was here and Elisha saw Elijah go up in the whirlwind, and he said, God bless me double. And so Elisha's miracles compared to Elijah's were doubled. And so here's the same story of a widow woman who's losing everything, and she's going to have to send her boys away to earn the money that she needs, the debt. And yet he comes along and he says, go grab a pot from every neighbor you have, and he fills it with oil and they never run out. That's just amazing. So this was a test for him and a test for her. So read chapter or verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not one cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil at cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying, and Elijah and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. It's faith on both sides. God, why are you hiding? I want you to know that there are people in this world who are down and out, so down and out that they don't know how to help themselves, and they end up helping you. I don't know if you remember, Dale, when we used to go to the Port of Hope, and we're like, shh, these guys, and just like helping them and preaching to them, and we would leave more energized. We would go, yeah, we're like, wow, because God was using us in a way that we didn't expect, and it was just amazing. It's not all about helping somebody. Sometimes I have somebody to help you. Isn't it funny? We not only want God to help us, we want to decide who we want God to use. If we have money problems, we look to somebody who's rich. If we're sick, we look to somebody who's well. If we have Bible problems, we look to them that are a theologian. But God is capable of using anybody. You need to let God help you in a way he sees fit. It's all about building your faith, and sometimes it builds somebody else's faith. Amen. Why are you hiding me? So you got the meat from the devourer, fed from the down and outer. I'm not trying to use you in the midst of a disaster. Elijah made it. So with God, doing this, he puts him in a section, verse 18. Go to verse 18. So what happens is, I'll just tell you. Yeah, I'm looking at the clock. All right. So in verse 18, so all of a sudden, everything's good. Everybody's eating. Everybody's good to go. All of a sudden, the son, he comes sick. And then you're like, wait. And then the son dies. Huh? What are you doing here? I was fine eating my last cake, and now I'm all hopeful. Now my son is dead. Man. So he puts you in this spot. Elijah, we made it. God, and now her son is fed and becomes sick. As the problems get bigger, your faith needs to get bigger. As these problems get bigger, your faith needs to get bigger. Here's a man of God hiding just at the perfect time. Aren't you glad God knows where he needs to be at just the right time? Maybe he has you in that hiding place to bring life to something that is dead. We go on this high, we go on this low, but while we're there, we have the opportunity to reach others that are suffering from what they're dealing with. And maybe they're not going to see that high for a while, but yet we can kind of be in there to help them, uplift them. I can't tell you how many stories are like, hey, I saw you on the news. You're a little wacko. Like, I was like, hey, I'm faithful. God has a plan for me. I told the story in Costco. Guy's like, dude, your cheese done slid off. I don't know what you're thinking. Because we had the fire, and the same day the camera's on me, and I'm like, you know, God has a plan. It's not my plan, but you're like, you don't realize that everything's gone? It's burnt, you know? And yet, I had people come to me, hey, I saw you, and I decided to start reading my Bible again. Or I started to do this, or I started to do that. And you don't realize, yes, you were at a high, and you were at a low, and you're at a low, and you're like, I don't want to deal with anybody. Just get away from me. But you don't realize how you being low affects somebody else, of how you go through it. And so this lady, this widow woman, was at a high. She's fed. Her boy's fed. And then she's at a low going, bop, 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 bop. And so she goes through it, and I have here, I wonder if God has used me and all my injuries to bring levity to the environment in. Every time I get hurt and I go to the hospital, so I'm like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I got this big old gash, or I got a broken neck, yeah. You know, and they're, okay, you're not right. So, maybe God has you in the valley because there's somebody there who needs to see that God is real. He's got you there. When any of us all of us are in a trial, we know we have a church family behind us supporting us with prayer. Isn't that amazing? This body will support you in prayer. Now, I'm not saying that we're like, man, I'm glad I'm not in that situation, because I know you guys have said that. But our turn will come. But he ends up turning our ashes into beauty. And for all that, give us a garment of praise. We go through the high, we go through the low, bup, 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 and we come out, we're like, that was great! And you're like, no, but you're able to praise God because you got so much more out of it at the end. And it's amazing that sometimes you do. Now, I'm not saying all the time, because sometimes you're like, I'm not quite there yet to be praising the Lord. Oh, thank you for that trial, Lord. That was wonderful. You know, you're not always going to be there. But you'll get there. But he ends up, when you're in hiding, he wants to give meat to the devourer. He wants to give you meals from down and outer. He wants to show you a miracle in the midst of disaster. And he wants to provide a ministry for a doubter. How many of you have a doubter in your life? Let me read this here, 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Now she didn't see. Where my tissue go? The homeboy shows up, and she's got all the food and everything like that. She's feeding, she's able to eat, da da da. Okay, wow, that's great. God's man, all right. Then all of a sudden her son died. Well, then Elijah, hey, what are you doing? How can you help me? Blah, blah. So Elijah takes the son, puts him on the bed. He cries out to God, Lord, please. Three times he ends up getting up. He brings him down. He's good to go. I mean, he's alive. And she's like, now I know. Like, after all that she's been through, it wasn't until her son was raised from the dead that she realized, now I really, I just can't believe that. But aren't we like that too? Haven't we been in life where we've seen God show up? All right, praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. But then we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I even believe in God. You know, God hasn't showed up for me in a while. You know, and then all of a sudden, crazy, like what you had, what we had, or whatever. Now I believe. Now I know. Now I trust him. I mean, our whole life is an opportunity to grow our faith. Every little trial you go through, every little hassle you go through is an opportunity for your faith to grow. So the next time it pops up, you're able to get stronger and you're like, God's got this. So I said, by now with this, I could just imagine. She's saying, now by this I know. And he's like, what? You didn't believe me all those other times? How is this not so? All the things you you had nothing. We're the same way. If you do this, then I'll know. If you do this, then I'll really know that you're God. If you provide me with this, then I'll know. But we change, you know, just like the children of Israel. Yeah, I know we went through the Red Sea and all that, but you know, I still don't really believe. She believed God was real by the end of this chapter. She also believed Elijah was too. How I live in hiding, but I don't like to convince them that God is real, but that I am real also. Not only when I'm in this low spot, am I convincing myself that God is real, or I should know that God is real, but somebody else is watching me in this low spot to say, hey, God's really real to him. And he keeps going. And then by the end, it says, not only is God real to him, but what he's real, he's a real Christian. He really believes that God's real. Because there's so many Christians out there, oh yeah, I believe in God. But when they go through hard times and we watch them, you don't really see that they believe that. They go through the hard time and they're all over the place, but you don't really see the change. So do you have doubters in your life? You still doing that church thing? You ain't gonna last. You'll get tired of that. Oh, you're in a cult. Those same doubters are usually the ones coming to ask you for help in their time of need. How many of us have seen our boys or whoever come to us like, hey, I really want you to pray for me. I mean, I'll get messages sometimes on Facebook having to talk to somebody. Hey, I really got this thing going on. Do you think you could pray for me? What? I haven't seen you in years. Where are you coming from? Why me, you know? And what do they say? I've been watching you. I've seen you. I've seen the way you've acted. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, we have these high times, and they're great, and the Lord, praise the Lord. But we also need to be praising the Lord. We're in the low times too, because people are watching us and how we react to those low times. And it's our testimony when they see us go through those low times that they're almost in unbelief to say, whew, I'm glad I'm not in that situation. That's what they're saying. But then when they get in that situation, they're like, oh, where do I go? Where could I go? That's funny. I didn't really pick those songs for all that, but hey, praise the Lord. So I guess what I'm saying, it says in the Bible, Be thankful for all. Be joyful always. I don't know. Be diverse temptations. James. I can't think of it. I didn't write it down. Don't be so quick to get rid of those low times that you're going through. Don't be so fast to curse God, I guess, in those times when they're tough, because God's counted all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because God's using that not only for you, but for somebody else that's watching you. And you can use that to be a testimony to those, because there's a way that you can reach others just by your life, just by walking, just by seeing. They're like, I know he's gone through tough times, and he's still joyful. He's still the same person. He hasn't changed. And I gotta believe that it's God that put him through that. Or they're so lack of God knowledge, they're just like, I don't know what it is, but I need to find out why and what that is. So your bag for this week, get your paper or plastic as you take it out that door. Think about those things. And I know all of us are dealing with something, I would assume. Try to use that for his good. Try to praise him in that trial that you're in. Lord, I'm here. What can I do to serve you better? How can I make this a testimony for your goodness? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that you guide us, protect us, be with us, Lord. But let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary when those trials hit us. We love the joyful times, the high times, Lord. But when we're going through those low times, how can we use those to serve you? How can we use those to change others' lives? So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, and as the piano plays, just think about what God has done in your life. Consider the many blessings that you have and how good he's been. And when you go through those trials, or think about the trials you went through, were you praising him? Were you thinking of how good he is? Take this time in prayer.